I'd like to call this meeting to order. If everybody could please rise and join me with the pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, everybody. As per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given that this is a regular meeting of the Borough of Highlands Planning Board, and all requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times, and notice has been posted on the public bulletin board. Roll call.
Mr. Mullen?
Here.
Mr. Schiller?
Here.
Ms. Peterson?
Here.
Mr. Ruby is absent. Mayor Nolan is absent. Mr. Redman?
Here.
Mr. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Gallagher?
Here.
Mr. Stockton?
Here.
Mr. Colby is absent. Mr. Russo is absent.
Okay, we do have a quorum now.
Yes.
Following our agenda under item 5, motions for adjournment and any other motions, there are none. Under item 6, new business, review of applications and set public hearing dates, there are none. Under 7, approval of resolutions, there are none. Under 8, unfinished or adjourned hearings, there are none. That brings us to item 9 on the agenda, hearings on new business. Under that, we have PB 2012-2, John Hune, Block 14, Lot 2.014, 22 Grand Tour. And if the applicant's here, please come forward.
That I hurriedly went to my car, because you just blew through that agenda.
And for the record, I do need to step down. I'm a neighbor right across the street within 200 feet. So I'll be stepping down and turning over the meeting to Mr. Schollner, my vice chairman.
Before you begin, first I'd like to place for the record that it's my understanding that the meeting notices are in order as per the clerk. There was insufficient notice at the last meeting, and those deficiencies were corrected, I believe, so the board does have jurisdiction. Second, we're going to pre-mark some exhibits so that once you start, we can flow through it. In terms of the applicant's exhibits, we have A1, which is the June 19, 2012 letter from E.M. Waterbury & Associates. A2 would be the Stormwater Management Report, dated June of 2012, again from Waterbury Associates. A3 is the topographical survey dated 5/17/2012, prepared by Richard Stockton Associates. A4 would be a driveway plan prepared by Elizabeth Waterbury, dated 6/13/2012. I don't see any revision dates on it. A5 would be Waterbury correspondence July 31st, 2012. Is that your last letter, July 31st?
Yeah.
A6 is a little out of order as a copy of the public notice. And then do we want to mark whatever you have mounted there, or is that what we've already
marked? This is just copies of what was A4.
Okay, that's A4. And then in terms of the board exhibits, B1 we marked as the original resolution from the subdivision that created this lot in March of 1999. B2 would be a T&M review letter of July 10th, and then B3 is the August 6th T&M review letter. Thank you. And did you testify before or no?
No, I did not.
Okay, so who's testifying? Anybody else?
In case you have questions at the home room.
Right, so now we already. Do you all solemnly swear the testimony you're about to present this board with the truth to help your God?
Yes.
Yes.
Each of you, starting, identify your name and address, please.
Elizabeth Waterbury, 17 Mond Street, Bank, New Jersey, of E.M. Waterbury & Associates Consulting Engineers.
Angela Monaco, 22 Grand Tour, Highlands, New Jersey.
John Hume, 22 Grand Tour.
Okay, thanks. And you're a licensed engineer and planner?
Yes.
In New Jersey.
In the state of New Jersey and certified municipal engineer.
Okay. Any questions on qualifications? Okay.
Okay.
It's all yours.
You may have questions of the residents that are here too. We do not have an attorney with us, so I'm going to present and we'll go from there if that's okay. The applicant lives at 22 Grand Tour. They have a fairly long driveway that leads up to their home. I actually have an exhibit for you, which would be, what were we up to?
A7, yes.
I have like 15 copies here, so we just took two, so it's probably 13. As it was noted, the application, this particular lot was part of a prior subdivision that received final approval in 1999. It was a four-lot subdivision that was done in March of 1999 was when it received approval. And this was one of the four lots. You'll see that we're lot 2.014. There's 2.13, 2.12, and 2.11. Those were the four lots that were created by the subdivision. In the discussions at that time, there had been some concern that had been raised about the driveway for this particular lot, the one that we're here for tonight, 2.014. There was concern about, because of the length and steepness of it, of traction, of being able to, you know, get up the driveway. And there was some concern that had been raised about some of the stormwater as down at the bottom of Grand Tour. There tends to be, times when that collects a lot of runoff in the area. I know that I have a plan up here. It's a flat two-dimensional plan. So I want to give you a couple of pictures, and the exhibit A7 that I just gave to you, or to try to give you a sense of what the driveway looks like. One of the, it was noted in the resolution that this particular drive was going to be stone, and there was a note on the plan that said that the drive was going to be stone. As you'll see when you look at the pictures on page one, I have a picture, number one is when you're down at Grand Tour, looking up the driveway. And the other is, and I have to, it started raining after I was there, so the pictures got a little less clear. Two was actually at the end of the flat parking area, looking down the driveway, and you see that the driveway is stone. The problem that we have is that the stone that's on there is almost like ball bearings under your wheels. I cannot drive up that driveway in my car, and I have a difficult time walking up that driveway, and I'm not talking about wheels. I haven't tried it in heels. so that it actually caught, and it ruts very easily. And as we travel on to the pictures on the next page, the top is showing the splatter parking area at the top, picture number three. And picture number four is showing you down at the bottom here, there's the two driveways right next to each other. And you can see that what happens is that the stone actually comes down and washes down off of the driveway and goes with gravity to go down the hill of Grand Tour and actually ends up going in front of the neighbor's parcel when you get the really heavy rains. So we have an impact to our neighbors down in that bottom area, plus we have the what I consider from an engineering standpoint not a safe condition for traversing the driveway. Applicant is here requesting to get relief from the requirement that was put in during that subdivision to be able to have a hard riding surface so that they can get up and down the driveway. We have a couple of hurdles that are associated with it. If you go back to the first picture, when you're looking at picture number one, looking up the driveway, you're looking along this common kind of northern property line of where the driveway is. And you'll see that our driveway is higher than the driveway on the adjacent site. So that right on the property line, not our wall, but the neighbor's wall, is right on the property line along that side. And you can see at the edge of it, down at the bottom, that there is an interlocking block wall. It's not like a poured wall, a soft concrete wall, or even a concrete block wall. It's an interlocking block wall that goes along the side. And when you look at the second picture, which is at the top, you can see it gets to be taller, up at the top. So that we have this wall that goes right along the side of the property line that was constructed when the home on lot 2.13 was constructed.
Is the wall in lot 2 that goes all the way up, is that also the neighbor's wall?
Yes. That's one that they have that kind of butts into theirs and then comes around the front of the house.
That's our wall all the way
up and down.
Oh, it's your wall too?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So they had a survey done when the house was sold about 6 months ago, a year ago?
Yeah.
And it showed that the property line for our wall was actually 18 inches beyond the wall, going all the way up. They had stakes in the ground.
Yeah, I think the original wall design was listed in the building permit, the building permit file, oddly enough, for lot 2.13, because this lot was done first, and then, or the driveway was, and then the adjacent lot was done. So it was actually in the building permit file, or the comments about it for the adjacent lot, for that particular wall. So we have this condition that exists where you have a very narrow property that's coming up to an area that winds out. You know, we have a flag lot. And I have a second exhibit here that I wanted to just show to you. I guess this would be A8.
Can you identify what it is, please?
Yes. A8 is a copy of the Monmouth County aerials that has the topo for this area, has contours for this area. It's entitled Hume Driveway Modification Exhibit B, Offsite Drainage Area to Grand Tour. And my purpose for showing you this is because we know that there are issues with some drainage, which is what raised concern in the original application for which runoff that occurs down at the bottom of Grand Tour. Okay? And there was concern that the runoff that was being created by this and particularly this driveway would impact and worsen and maybe be causing, you know, some of that issue. At least when I read through the minutes of the meetings, that's what it appeared. So what I wanted to show you is like I have listed project site. You'll see that we have kind of laying on its side the flag lot. We have the narrow portion coming in and then where it winds out. And the area that's highlighted in red is the drainage area that comes on to Grand Tour next to our parcel. So just above us, there's a 6-acre drainage area that all flows, that's owned by Monmouth County Park System, all flows down onto Grand Tour and then takes a nice trip down the road, and then at the very bottom of the road, it, you know, likes to wreak some havoc. When I did the calculation of comparing our driveway as in a stone condition to our driveway in a concrete condition, I found that there was an amount that is not one that we can really recalculate it, but it's really not an accurate kind of number in that when I used the comments from the last T&M letter and they asked me to change one of my numbers for the existing condition, I came up that the existing drainage area that would come along this driveway created a runoff amount of 0.8 CFS, with a CFS being a cubic foot per second is our measurement of a single stormwater rate of runoff. And when I calculated, and that was using the revised number that was in the last report, and when I calculated or proposed, that the proposed number was 0.88. So that the difference between the stone condition and the difference between the concrete condition is 0.08, 0.08 of a one measurement of a unit. That stormwater is not, it's not an accurate, it's accurate within a certain extent, but it's not an accurate to that kind of accuracy type of calculation, okay? So in my opinion, we would usually look at that and say that if you're within hundredths of what the other number is, the two numbers are basically the same, okay? I have the hardest time, and part of what my, diminishness is the word that wouldn't come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Okay? And it definitely doesn't come out when I spell it, because they don't pick it up as a word. Part of my role, I have several different roles that I go through, and one is as a teacher at Rutgers for the Center of Government. I teach the municipal certification classes to the zoning board secretaries, planning board secretaries, and clerks. And I also am a teacher at NJIT. And we get into this discussion all the time over the difference between like the stone and grass and the pavement. And when we're doing our calculations, the calculation numbers that we use, we have a number that we use that relates to what's going to infiltrate into the ground, you know, to kind of put in simpler terms. And when I look at those numbers, the numbers for stone are actually closer to pavement or hard surface than they are to like a grass or landscape surface. But conceptually, we always think that just because the stone is there, that it makes it easy. The only time you're going to get that kind of a real percolation into it would be stone that's not being used to be driven on. Because if you have it so loose that you have that void to allow all that water to kind of run into it, you can't drive on it. If you try to drive on the beach, it just moves like that. I had a contractor put 6 inches of a nice decorative stone in my sister's driveway. They can't drive on it because the tires just sink right into it. In order to really be able to have a good surface to drive on, it needs to be hard enough that it's going to support the weight and carry the vehicle across it. And that generally isn't going to happen with something that's going to have a permeability about the same, you know, like with the stone, that would be about the same as the grass. So our standard industry numbers that we would use are closer to an impervious surface than they are to a pervious surface, which is can be almost seeming counterintuitive, okay? So when I did the calculation, it comes up with an amount that's 800ths different, a de minimis amount, and certainly not an amount that's causing or even a measurable, and that's, excuse me, that 800ths was at a 100-year storm, okay? So it was at, you know, let's take like, you know, last August when we had the hurricane, and put it into a 100-year storm, we have a de minimis amount. Where instead we have above, just upstream of this, just up slope of this, we have a 6-acre parcel that's coming just on the one side of the road, coming down and draining undetained, uncontrolled through the woods and down the slope right onto Grand Tour. And you'll see that in picture number 4, I actually, when I first got there, the first picture's nice and clear because it wasn't raining. And then as I was there a little longer, so the very first one you'll see it's very dry. And I was at the site maybe 15 minutes because I was dropping something off for them. And when I went to get down into my car, you'll see my rearview mirror. I've been there 15 minutes and already you can see the water starting to run down the gutter, you know, from the upper area across ours down to the lower area. And that was only in a short period of time. And although you can see the rain a bit in picture number 3 above, it wasn't torrential. But it's just because you have this very large area that's a slope of it that comes down and drains on. So our first desire would be able to, you know, add a hard surface to this for our ease of traversing, to make it safer for traversing. And also to prevent, you know, that constant flow of when you get the heavy rains of the stone going down and impacting the neighbors. The applicant proposes to put curbing along each side to not have to use heavy equipment per se going up it, to use concrete because that could be pumped up the slope and floated off by hand, and to put a broom finish on it so that there's, you know, a roughness to us for traction, okay? Because the original resolution had indicated some information relating to, you know, concern about the stormwater, we were like, well, we wanted to show you what we perceived we would have to go through in order to try to deal with driveway stormwater. And we have kind of, we've shown that on the plan where we've shown the concrete drive and then at the bottom, it's very hard for us to put an inlet in. The water would just run right over top of an inlet. What we propose to use is pervious concrete, which actually has a permeability of, you know, your soils might be, a really good soils would be 20 inches or a little more. That'd be like a really good soil. And the permeability, permeable concrete they have found to have 480 inches per hour of permeability. And when Rutgers was doing its studies up with the EPA and their site in Edison, they were actually getting over 2,000 inches per hour, and they hadn't done any maintenance for 2 years. So it looks like Rice Krispie treats, you know, only they're made of concrete, not, you know, out of Rice Krispies, and they're stronger than Rice Krispie treats. And it actually allows the water to kind of come down and roll over top of it and just go in. And we showed a stone recharge underneath it. There were some comments from T&M, which I had talked to my client about, that make, you know, makes sense, that if we were required to put in the stormwater, we'd like to not have to. But if we were required to see if we could do all the site-specific soils work afterwards, because we only have this narrow little driveway, already has traversing issues, and if we did the soil more now and we're not allowed to restore it, then I think that it could make the situation even worse. We did have some soil log from the adjacent site that was done, and we had done our report based on the Monmouth County soils, which indicated that the soils had between a 2-inch and a 20-inch infiltration, and we used the 2-inch. And then for the calculations, you have to take the 2-inch and cut it in half again, so we used 1-inch. So we feel that we were conservative in what it was that we're going to be using. So how that will look is that this is a little profile of it. We have the road here. This is as it going across the road. You come up the apron, and the stone would be here. We had two open arched pipes in it to give it a little more volume. And what happens is that it would come down, it would go into the permeable concrete. I don't even believe it would make it all the way to the end. If you ever see the videos for the permeable concrete, they sit there with a fire hose on it, and the guy's standing like from me to there, and they don't get wet, because it just goes in. And then allow it to go to stone beneath in an effort to try to address the concern. But as I said, at 100 year, we're 8/100ths of a difference between the stone and the concrete. Part of our concern with actually having to do the construction is because the wall is right there and it's an interlocking block wall, that when you excavate behind it, I looked to see if we could get the construction details out of the building files. Carolyn was very nice to get me out like whatever files I needed, and the details were not in the building files, so I only have what I can visually see, you know, from going out to the site, and as you can see, it's an interlocking block wall with a cap on top. So,
how deep in the ground does it go, do you know?
I have no idea. But a normal interlocking block wall usually only goes like a block or two into the ground. It's usually not. It's not like those walls are generally not like a standard concrete wall that might have a footing and have all this rest. You know, it has just a couple that are in the ground. It might have a geogrid that's behind it, and that comes in, but we don't know if that's there either. So,
you've had no problems with that wall at all, have you?
No.
No?
And we looked at the reason, I mean, concrete's a more expensive fix than the asphalt, but it was able to be achieved without having to run an asphalt machine up there and maybe put a heavy load behind it that might cause problems with the wall. So they're trying to be very sensitive to the neighbors and to the concerns, but at the same time create a driveway that can be used safely by them. And Mr. Hughes always having to go down and, you know, after rain, everyone has to rake. He has to rake the ruts out. You know, they have young lads in their family that, you know, it's a challenge to get up there, but they take on that challenge. So what our summary of our request is we request to be able to put the hard surface on it. We prefer to not do it for the reasons stated, not do the drainage at the bottom for the reasons stated, but you have heard what the design is, you know, should it be a requirement.
I wasn't here when the subdivision was approved, but if it's only the minimalist difference between what you've got, what the board requested back then, and what you're asking now, what was the engineer advising that? Does anybody know?
I did read the minutes from those, and I have these here, and the engineer at the time was Dennis Galvin, and he actually didn't raise the issue. He raised the issue more of the steepness of the slope and getting traction and things of that nature. And it actually, the comment came out by objectors that came because they were concerned because they lived down at the bottom of Grand Tour and a lot of water comes down the hill, and so they were concerned about it adding additional water to it, but there was no engineering calculation provided for or against as to what that impact would be.
So the applicant didn't provide an engineering report at the time that said it would be.
Well, they did from their own stormwater, but there wasn't really a lot of discussion about it at that time. I think the board, you know, heard the objector's concern, and the applicant said, okay, I'll stone the driveway. And it was a builder, and he was going to sell the lots. And the result is that it on a flatter driveway, it would probably work, but it just doesn't work well on the steep driveway. And the developer knew he wasn't going to be living.
Any other questions?
I'd like to hear what Rob has to say. A hard time following your letter.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
But in case you don't, I was like,
I can explain all that.
Rob, let's swear you in. Do you swear the testimony you're about to present to support the truth of the guy?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
just to go back into the prior approval, the condition and resolution states specifically the driveway on the flag lot will be constructed with stone to improve traction and lessen the stormwater level. Clearly, there's testimony this evening that. Does not improve traction, but it's more of a detriment. Stormwater runoff
And you agree with that, right?
Yes. And if you go out there, it's pretty evident that stone is loose. It appears that it does erode or it moves. It's pretty evident. Stormwater runoff, as Ms. Werber indicated, is a 0.08 CFS increase, which would be considered very slight. Probably not even noticeable. As far as some of the comments I had in the letter, a lot of it is item one under drainage is really just a technical comment based on the calculations. Bottom line is what we were saying is if you're going to install this infiltration system at the base of the driveway, rather than using a county soil survey, we'd rather have on-site specific soil information. So we're saying test the soils to make sure you're going to get that infiltration that you say you're going to get.
But if we don't require that, then
it goes away. And that's similar to the next couple of comments. The next comment talks about a similar thing. However, when you design infiltration systems, you need at least a 2-foot separation above the groundwater table, so the water can percolate through your infiltration trench and without an impact to the groundwater, or without the groundwater impacting it, which would reduce the amount of infiltration. So we say you have to have at least 2 feet. So when you do your soil borings, if this is a requirement, then just prove that you have the 2 feet. Again, that's only if the board requires this infiltration system. If the board doesn't, then that requirement goes away. The next requirement is, again, related to the infiltration system, really the operation and maintenance. How are you going to take care of it? How are you going to, what are the procedures to routinely maintain it, clean it, replace it, what have you. Again, if that system is not required by the board, then that requirement will then go away. So it really goes down to the last comment at 4, which has two parts. And the first comment is the applicant, after making their initial application, indicated that they are now proposing to eliminate the proposed infiltration system based on what I believe the calculations that they had recorded and found that there's only a 0.08 CFS increase. So my comment was, okay, if you eliminate that and just have a impervious surface with the concrete, I just want to make sure that the engineer has looked into the downstream impacts and any impacts to adjacent properties. And certainly we want to invite any impact to any neighbor or the roadway. So I'm just asking for them to provide that testimony that it wouldn't have any impact. And then lastly, is what Werberry commented on before. I just advise that the curve number should be a different curve number in the calculations, so please rerun the calculations. testified that she did, and the difference, again, is the 0.08 CFS. So that's the entirety of the letter, really to narrow it down is to try and determine what is the increase, and is it substantial or not substantial.
So there was a little testimony left, because I forgot to do the impact to the neighbors and the impact finish. So one of the things is the 0.08 that I spoke about at the 100-year storm actually is using that revised number that Rob spoke about, Mr. Keeney spoke about. And, you know, that's a de minimis amount and an imperceivable amount. So part of the discussion was is that that amount is not an impact to the downstream. The runoff from the 6 acres above is the impact to the downstream. Because if it's an imperceivable and actually and de minimis amount, it's just not going to impact downstream. As it relates to the neighbors, we have impact right now to the neighbors because all the stone washes over to that side. And besides the fact that we won't have stone, the applicant's proposing to curb the two sides. So it's going to even better keep the water within our driveway parameters and bring it down to the street. The one thing I didn't mention, and Mr. Keeney and I have discussed this, is that the one thing that is also on the site is the roof drains for the whole building go into dry wells on the site. So it's not as if there's no stormwater mitigation that was required at the time of the construction. So it's not as if there's no stormwater mitigation on the site. That is there. That's up at the top of the hill. And it does take the roof water, and the roof water is a greater amount than the 0.08. For a 2-year storm, it would be 0.13 CFS. So for those reasons, I would offer to you that we do not see an impact to the downstream, and we do not see an impact to the neighbors.
There's certainly no neighbors here.
No, or did they come the last time? They've all received certified letters. No one came to protest. I think our neighbor that's next to us would be very happy to see that we're not washing rocks up on his driveway. He just did landscaping, and just with the rain we had the other night, he was flooded out with the rocks, ruining a lot of his new mulch. But no neighbor has showed up, and we did abide by all the letters that were sent out. So if there were objections, there are none now.
Anybody back here on any side?
Are there any other driveways up in that area? I mean, I've driven up there many times that have stone currently?
No.
To your knowledge, that's all.
No. And all the ones from this four-lot development are all paved. And the last picture on the back was a house directly across the street from us, because I believe that Mr. Key was concerned that the water would go down or into a house if it was lower. And so the one across the street has a cave and is, you know, the driveway goes up.
They mostly have uphill there anyway, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's more when you get down to Grand Tour, the bottom, kind of the bottom of Grand Tour, where it switches, you know, from Grand Tour to
I think the only one that has a down driveway is Mr. Stockton.
Yes.
With a sump pump.
And he's down near that lower area.
Yeah.
And what's the one place that
And will that new, I don't know whether you looked into it or not, that road down the bottom where they're putting all the new storm drains, that should take care of most of the water now, we hope.
That would be great.
Yeah, because they're putting a lot of big pipes in to take care of that water. There's a lot of it goes right across the street.
Yes,
so
yes.
So should take care of all that.
And that's the impact I'm talking about. That's the location where all this rain, not just from this year, but you got the same thing from the other side. It all goes down to the road,
mm-hmm.
and then goes down to the first spot. It flattens out, and that's it.
Yeah.
Can I just get clarification? You originally proposed pervious concrete with a stone recharge. You're not proposing
just to have the whole driveway just be
regular concrete.
Regular concrete.
Just one other comment. As quick one. It should just be approved. Into is with the concrete, there's going to be added weight on that driveway. We don't know what the design of that wall was, so I certainly want something I would want that looked at to make sure it wouldn't have an impact to that adjacent.
Okay. It'd be helpful if we could find that original. Would you be willing to look and see if there's anything in your files from when
yeah.
you did grading reviews? That would be very helpful.
I'll be glad to take a look. I don't know if that's. Up at that time or prior.
Yeah, for whichever it is. I mean, we did pull out the building permit files, hoping to get that information.
And the reason you want to use the concrete instead of asphalt is so that you're not taking heavy equipment up?
Well, I think it's a combination because we can also put the broom finish on it. That will give it a little better traction to it. They like to look. They're going to use like covered concrete so they get, you know, you get like a nice look to it as well. Belgian block curb on the side, so I think it will be a gorgeous look. The two will go together well, but, you know, we're able to put that broom finish on it and get that traction. If you try to leave that rough surface on the asphalt, it's going to look like it wasn't done right.
Yeah.
And also, I think that, you know, it allows us to not have to take the equipment up there. And because with the asphalt, besides laying it down, you have to roll it.
Right.
And the roller is almost more of a concern to me than the if they had the box.
Okay. Anybody else have questions? Maybe there?
I don't have any more questions. Peter?
Nobody? Okay, you want to make a motion?
Well, for the record, there's no public present for any questions or comments.
No, but I know that. Yeah.
And, yes.
Okay. I move that we approve the application without the Rice Krispies on the...
no sugar.
On the bottom of the driveway.
Okay, we have a second?
I'll second
that. All in favor?
We do roll call?
Okay, you go.
Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Schaller?
Yes.
Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
That's it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
What color is it going to be?
Dark gray.
Dark?
Gray.
Dark gray.
Gray.
Good luck with it.
Thank you very much.
See you in the woods.
Yes.
For
with the dog. Now our dog can get down the driveway.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Next item is the approval of minutes.
Oh, I was going to say that.
There's Mr. Schulman, Mr. Peterson, Mr. Hill, Mr. Gallagher are eligible to vote.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Offered by Mr. Schulman, seconded by Mr. Gallagher. Mr. Schulman?
Yes.
Ms. Peterson?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Motion carries.
No communications, except for a planner in your package. I'm sure you all read it. And I make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned, 8:12 p.m.
You can use.